Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jumping off into hour two, we are going to get to the NBA's reopening plan voted on by the NBA Board of Governors a little later in the show. First, though, Drew Brees issued an apology on his Instagram, and it's also online for you at WWL.com based on his comments that sparked quite a bit of outrage with his teammates and the black community yesterday about the American flag. To the phones we go. Duke in White Castle. What's going on, Duke? You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian, Bobby, how you doing? Simplified, Christian. Y'all doing okay, man?
We're good, thank you.
First, I just want to say, you know, I'm driving with a friend of mine, and, you know, he brought up, one good point. It seems like a lot of people are holding a lot of grudges of stuff in the past that probably 99% of this certain race had nothing to do with. Now, we're in the 2020. I know we still got issues. They had issues back then. I know we got issues we got to handle. I'm not questioning that. There's no doubt about it. Drew Brees did nothing wrong. I wouldn't apologize. He stood up for what he said. But guess what? Drew Brees or none of us can say anything right now. It's impossible. You know what I'm saying? I worked at the Port of New Orleans for 16 years. I worked with a lot of African Americans, and I was friends with almost all of them. They come from the lower ninth ward, upper ninth ward, Calio. They come from New Orleans East. A lot of them did hard time, whether it was Hunts, whether it was Angola. And they some bad dudes, and a lot of them did what they did when they wasn't at work and whatever, whatever. But let me ask you a question, if y'all know this. Does Malcolm Jenkins or does Michael Thomas, has any of them gone down there to any one of them cities that I just named with the black-on-black crime that's going on? I don't think so. It's only when a white person is involved is when they get involved. Where is Jesse Jackson? Where is Farrakhan? Where is Obama with the black-on-black crime? Not just in New Orleans, but all over the country. Where are they at? Listen. Slavery was a bad thing, no doubt. That guy, Ken, that was on the phone, he needs to really look up his history because he would hate what the Democrats did and what they're doing right now. But they don't get it. They don't get it. Democrat politicians come see him one time every 4 years. Every 4 years, just to get their vote. They need to see what's really going on in this country. But listen, none of them, they just worried about, it's already proven that more white people get killed by cops than black people. That don't matter to them.
More people. I mean, when you think about it, just to look at the population, when you look at the percentages, though, so that's why, yeah, you should have more white people getting killed. Now, it's wrong, unarmed by policemen, but they the majority of the population. So when you say more white people get killed by the policeman, because there's more white people than black people.
Right, I understand, but you know what? You can't name a white person that got killed. It's all the other way. Now, look, my wife called me today and told me they had a protest down in Nichols to change the names of some of the classrooms or facilities because of what the names represent. E.D. White. They want to change the name of E.D. White. That's our history. You know, the statue of General Lee. I've been down here 44 years of my 50 years of existence. I can't tell you how many times I went down and looked at that statue. That's part of our history. Do we know General Lee believed in slavery? Do we know that for? But it's I don't understand it. But let me tell you, they need if they're gonna talk about this, they need to be really more involved with their race, with the black on black crime that's going on. Hey, I love y'all. Who that? And go Trump.
Well, thanks for the phone call. You can't get so political. Go Trump or anti-Trump. It's even beyond that going forward. It's even past the election. Now the election is going to be important come November, and y'all got the power to vote and express your opinion. But I think if we're truly going to change things, it's going to be a process. It's not only going to be with the upcoming election. Now, with that being said, and then when you look at what all individuals are dealing with, when you're going to just paint a broad brush that Malcolm Jenkins has really been active in different communities, Michael Thomas. Now, you might not see it, but to say that they've never gone there and gotten involved with African-American communities, that's not right. And violence is never good, however that comes about. Black-on-black crime, yes, that has to be addressed. But then you cannot also have police brutality, especially when you're expecting the police to be objective and protect you. The police force almost has to be above the mindset of the population and not being persuaded. Now, it's easier said than done. That's why I think we need to pay the policemen. They need to get a great salary so you have great individuals who will be more objective and look at the whole picture as in society as human beings.
Thanks for the phone call. We'll step away. Back to your calls next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Right back to the phone. Saints quarterback Drew Brees issued an apology for his statements yesterday regarding the American flag. Chuck B. in Mid-City. What's going on, Chuck B.? You're on WWL. Do you accept his apology?
Wow, Christian, Bobby. No, I love y'all, man. You know, you listen to Bobby, the one thing you can take away from him, just his personality. Bobby could never, ever have been the officer whose knee was on a person's neck to the point to where he was dying, nor could he or would he sit by and watch it happen being another police officer. That tells me that it truly is something. Yes, even in today, 2000 and, 2020, that is systemic and endemic of a problem that's deeply, deeply rooted in the fact that your valuation of people, that they are less than significant to society. We see criminals, the guy Timothy McVeigh, right? He got to go to trial, bro. Okay, you know what I'm saying? You got people like that who they get arrested. They get their hands behind their back and they walk them to the car and they go to trial. They live. Bro, we've been killed for traffic stops and different things like that. There's always some report that says, oh, this happened and that happened, therefore, I was fearful for my life. Why are we depicted as such? And if you do your homework, and I've got some facts today, and I'm going to try to be real brief, man. I thank you for the time, and I appreciate the show. I love y'all. You know that. But what white America doesn't know is that the contributions to this country by African Americans have been not given to them, but all of the negative does, so that we're viewed and we're depicted in a vacuum of just these ignorant, dancing, smiling, athletic, stocky built guys. So you got to apply this amount of pressure because they're a threat to you physically. But what's missed is that if you go back to World War II, Lieutenant John R. Fox, and I'm going to just give you some quick stuff so we can just do your own homework, because it's not given to white folks, man. We won World War II. Major contributions were given by black folks, and those folks didn't even get their awards until like 1997. So there's a guy, John R. Fox. He was a lieutenant in the Army. he was serving in Italy, and the United States was getting beat down by Germany. So our guys had to you know, retreat. This guy hid in a house, him and about six other black officers. And when the Germans had filled the area, they called on the radio, whatever, and guided the coordinates and ordered fire on their own positions to kill all the Germans. And then our guys were able to come back and help and win that battle. These folks wasn't recognized, dude, until 1982. That's almost 50 years after the war. They never saw their awards. It was never pinned on them. It was given to them posthumously. You know, the contributions of the black women, and you just saw it in a recent movie, to our NASA and our space program. They were solving quantum physics equations and things that all those Brown University, Yale University white scientists could not solve. And because of these black women's contributions in the astrophysics of the development of our NASA program, and they weren't even recognized, we won the space race. What I'm saying is that our minds are just as intelligent. Our contributions have been just as important. And you talk about black folks who have been very accomplished. Do your homework. There's something called Black Wall Street. It was an area in Tulsa, Oklahoma, actually a suburb of Tulsa, Oklahoma, in the early 1920s. It became one of the most extremely successful economic systems in the nation for black folks. We're talking about black wealth. They owned the airport. They owned the entire town. You know, they had banks and the whole nine. Well, you talk about racism. It was a completely self-sufficient economy owned by black folks. In 1921, this is fact, and Bobby, I know you love your history. In 1921, more than 300 residents, all black, and hundreds more were injured. 300 residents were killed. They were massacred. Okay, that's 300 killed, and another few hundred were injured, and the whole city was burned to the ground.
Okay? Hey, Chuck B, going forward. Now, you would still expect that maybe in China, and that was horrendous what happened in Tulsa.
And
I'm aware of that. Do you think that can happen today? See, I don't. I have more hope than that. That would not happen today. And I think whether you're part of NASA or part of the military going forward, you would be recognized and not just have to wait decades before you'd be recognized. Don't you think we've progressed that way as far as, you know, individual African-Americans that whether it's in the military or NASA, like you said, for their mind, that when you think this day and age to be recognized? And come on, do you really think? Now, I'm not going back to 50 years from now, even what happened in the 60s. But do you think realistically right now that would happen in America, would happen in Tulsa? I mean, I don't. I mean, it could be something one life is too many, but I just don't think you'd have that. I still think we're trending in the right way because of the younger generation.
I'll answer that for you, Bobby, if I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so here's how that works. When you talk about the success of Black Wall Street, the success of African Americans, if that information is put out there, like worldwide, right? Two things happen. The valuation of black folks is looked at differently. You know how you look at Asians with the eyeglasses, because it seems like they all have like an eye issue or whatever, but we just see them and think they're just automatically smart or brilliant. I don't know where that comes from, but that's a perception that you give a certain people. What I'm saying is, when you change the dynamic of how a group of people are perceived, it's not just for white folks, but also how we perceive ourselves. That image of Black Wall Street is something that would have been widespread and continue to grow. Instead, you get a system that doesn't allow you to achieve that same success over and over and over again. So now you wind up with kind of a negative behavior and a self-perspective that you don't necessarily reach. But the other thing is that the accountability on all of those accounts, like there was no accountability. Nobody was ever charged or even prosecuted for burning it down. Today, it takes videotapes and all these other things. We keep seeing Rodney King beating happened, you know, in the early 90s or whatever. This thing shouldn't ever be. It shouldn't. I'm saying, so how you fix this is you say for every police officer, if you're charged, if it's found that you're doing these things, you lose your commission. So you don't just get fired and get to go to another police officer and continue doing the work that you're doing. No, you don't have the mindset or the character to hold that position as a police officer. You shouldn't have a gun on your side at all, much less the right or the discretion to determine whether or not somebody goes home or goes to jail or goes to the graveyard. You don't have the mindset. So when you put teeth in law and legislation that says you're going to be held accountable and there will be harsh consequences if you violate your code of protecting the rights and freedoms of American citizens. The issue with Drew Brees was not that it's truly not about the American flag. It's about lives. That flag represents a country, but a country ain't a country without the people who live in it first. So to me, if it's not the flag is an inanimate object. So if you look at the United flag, the colors red, white, and blue, the colors of the red represents valor. There was no valor in those police officers because the ones who stood there and watched, they were cowards. The white represents purity and innocence. And in this country, there's been nothing pure or innocent because this country was taken from people who owned it before. You know, when you give smallpox to Indians, we practice genocide to some degree. Now, I'm not saying it's happening now, no. But I'm saying this country still has so much blood on its hands. It's not pure and innocent. The blue in the flag stands for justice, perseverance, and vigilance. We need to be vigilant in preserving justice for all people. And until those things are actually really adhered to in the United, so that flag actually is a symbol of what it's supposed to stand for, it's difficult to stand for something that doesn't represent what it's supposed to. So when you pledge your allegiance to something, it's a fake allegiance, man. It's a facade, because what it's supposed to represent, you're not fulfilling that yet.
Chuck B, do you accept Drew Brees' apology?
As a human being, sure I do. And I hope, and if it's sincere, it's sincere, and that'll play out. But it's difficult in that 4 years ago, he had 4 years to understand why these guys were kneeling. Aaron Rodgers said it best to him. It's never been about the flag. So they're trying, in other words, it's like you got kids in a house. The house is burning down, and they run into a room, and the mom and dad is having a business meeting with some folks. The kids come running into the room screaming, saying, "Hey, y'all, the house is on fire." And the parents are pissed off because the kids didn't have proper protocol, didn't acknowledge the guests, you know, didn't say, "Excuse me, mom and dad, you know, may I have a conversation with you?" Well, there's an emergency. And when in the face of an emergency situation, sometimes you can't come with the proper protocols and both, you know, pomp and circumstance. There's an emergency. Lives are being taken by folks who take an oath to protect that life. That's
but
an
Chuck
emergency.
B, wouldn't you
and for
say,
someone, for
Chuck
someone
B.
to tell me, "Hey, man, I can't hear you because you won't stand for the flag," and because of that, my dad, you know, dude, that's, I'm sorry.
So the bottom line,
but,
yes,
but
you,
Chuck
you,
B,
you accept it or you don't?
Chuck B, but Chuck
yeah,
B,
I'm saying,
say,
look, I'm a Christian brother. I fellowship at a multiracial church, and I love it. I mean, it's amazing to me. I'm there because of the fact that we are all at that First Baptist Church in New Orleans. Shout out to y'all. Hell yeah. Okay. It's not that we're Baptists, but it's we promote the heart of Christ and the word of God so that everybody has a seat at the table that God has prepared for us. Everybody. So we all
now, Chuck B, wouldn't you say it was swept under the rug in 2016 when you're dealing with police brutality and maybe how you changed the narrative, and it wasn't about protesting the flag compared to where we're at now? Doesn't it seem different that something will get done and you have some sense of hope? Right now, the proof's in the pudding, what's going to be done going forward. But don't you think it's different? Even I know you might say, "Well, why didn't it happen in 2016? I don't know. You know how different things happen in history? You don't know. But it just seems different in 2020 than 2016 that when you're trying to address justice for all. Does that make sense?
Here's what makes sense, and here's what's real. In the 1960s, during the race riots, right, or what have you, right, in a push for nonviolent push for equality, the world, because of video, saw hoses and dogs and police brutality against black folks who were peacefully protesting for civil and human rights. Now it's 2020, you know, 60 some years later, and we're still looking for teeth in the law that hold certain people accountable for what their actions are. We understand that folks are going to, we'll never, I can't stop anybody from having a belief. You can be a police officer and have whatever belief you want to, but if you take an oath that you're going to protect the lives of folks and you're going to make an arrest and you do your job and folks go to jail, that means that you don't get to be judge, jury, and executioner for someone. You don't get to make that decision. You make the arrest. So folks are saying, well, he wasn't, you know, he did this. It doesn't matter what he did. Your job is to make.
But now, Chuck B. Okay, yes, you're bringing up the past and history, and we all recognize.
I'm talking about the present right now.
But aren't you optimistic that something positive will come out of this, or you think it's going to be the same old, same old? Because that you got to have hope. So, well, what is your view of the future? You going to be? You think it's the same old, or that it'll be positive?
I'm going to end with this. The proof will be in whether or not the legislators and the judicial system, all of them, are willing to put themselves on notice to say, I also have to blindly do my job and call justice what it is and not protect those, you know, because of a code or whatever. I mean, dude, if I'm a police officer, there's no way I can sit by. I understand the guy may outrank me or whatever, but it may be a situation where you have to pull your gun and arrest your fellow police officer because he's committing murder in front of you. And I'm saying the hope is going to come with consistency, not a one-off, not two situations where justice was served and somebody was actually called on the carpet. I'm looking for consistency where consistently, if this behavior continues, people lose their commissions. They lose their pensions. They lose their retirements. That's the only way, when they really have something to lose, that you're going to change that behavior. Because if they know, well, I did what I did, but I'm going to do maybe 2 years, or I'll get a slap on the wrist, or I may have to get fired from this department, but I can go and get another job at another department. No. When you lose your commission and your opportunity to operate as a police officer, because some of these folks, they just want the rush of it. You know,
in order for that to happen, Chuck B, and I'm not saying it shouldn't, but so as I understand it from being a deputy, again, this was 20 years ago, I was commissioned by the state of Louisiana. So each state has their own commissioning standards. So you would have to change each one of those. Well, then change it.
That's how you make
to me,
change.
That's why you got to have independent bodies investigating wrongdoing by officers. It can't be the good old system and who you associate with. No, because everybody covers each other up. That's wrong. That's why you have to have an independent. It has to be independent. That's the bottom line when you're truly investigating something. And that's why I agree with you, the legislation. We have to nip this in the bud and have where – the consequence, you have to think about your action, what you're doing, because of the consequence right. that can come forth.
Chuck, hey, man, y'all gave me a hell of a lot of time today. I love y'all. I really appreciate this time y'all gave me to just express
all right,
this.
Chuck B.
I mean, y'all, you for sure, Bobby. Love you, bro.
Chuck B., thanks all for right. the phone call. We'll step away and come back. This is Sports Talk on WWL. Drew Brees issues an apology after yesterday coming under heavy criticism following his comments to Yahoo Finance about standing for the national anthem and the American flag. He's apologized. It's online for you at WWL.com. We're asking you in our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online at WWL.com. Do you accept Drew Brees' apology? Right now, about 87% are saying yes, 13% are saying no.
Right.
Go ahead, Bobby.
And then Christian, I'm glad you brought that up because this is a sports show. And I can tell you right now, because the individual, look at Michael Thomas, his Christian perspective, that a number of the players that we look up to in a Saints uniform, I can tell you right now, they're going to come together as a team, and it will not affect whether they win or lose. I'm telling you, that's not going to be an excuse. Oh, that, remember what happened in June? That's why the Saints aren't winning. I'm telling you, they're not winning is because they just didn't win the game. I don't.
Bobby, they might come out stronger for this.
Yes, they'll come out stronger. Nobody's holding no grudge when you're being a pro and you're getting paid to do a job and you come together. You always have adversity. How do you face adversity? What did DeMario Davis said? By Drew Brees' apology is showing you his leadership. So I think within the locker room, I don't think it's even going to be an issue. I'm telling you, when all said and done, when it comes to play, that's why even when you play, you might say, well, isn't this person maybe worried about what this player is getting paid or not getting paid and this and that? No, when you come and you're competing, that does not even come into play. You go out there and you're trying to do your job and do the best for yourself, for your family, for your organization, for your team and all that. And that's just the way it is. I mean, the public might not be able to understand that at times, but I think that's where the Saints are at. And I'm even looking at, you know, Coach O and I were roommates, and what he said even about the LSU Tigers. And Coach O said, look, my players and former players are hurting right now. I know that. They let me know they're hurting. Coach O went on to say, and he said, now I totally support them. I will not tolerate racism, and they know it. Behind those closed doors, Christian, when you have meetings, he said, I told them my feelings, which stays in-house, but they know I will not tolerate racism. Everybody has a right to their opinion. We're not going to stop that. I told them just to be careful, you know, where we're at right now. But it is truly the NFL team, when you circle the wagon, so to speak, and what comes about, people might be just grunting and all that, but I think overall the leadership and the maturity we have as a New Orleans Saints franchise, I don't think this will even be an issue going forward. I don't think it's going to be an issue for the LSU Tigers, whatever it might be, because it's all about communication. And you have to be able to look at a man face-to-face, and you got to be honest. And you got to say, okay, we're going to sit down, and then you just say your grievances and all, and then you grow from that. It's all about growth and maturity and not being so hard-headed and closed-minded and being objective about the situation that we're all in. And that even goes for a football team and what they're facing, the task at hand.
Frank and Marrero, thanks for your patience. You're on WWL. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, Kristen, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, I want to make a comment about Drew Brees and his he was talking about the flag, and I want to make a comment about, well, what does he think about the these people that are you know, flying the Confederate flag? I mean, he's so adamant about the American flag, you know. I mean, to me, if he's flying that battle flag, the Confederate battle flag, that's a disrespect to the United States flag. I mean, you know, how does he feel on that? I want to ask him that question, you know. I mean, you know.
If Drew would take the approach, he would say that's their right to be able to do that. To do that, it's a free country, but I don't agree with it. You know, when you're realistic, you can't force everyone to believe just what you believe. You have to do what's justice for all, what is the right thing. So I think Drew Brees would take that approach, that maybe that's your right as an individual. And that, listen, it's my right as an individual. When they play the national anthem, I'm going to put my hand over my heart. I'm going to stand at attention. But you can't force other individuals because you might not even know what they're going through. And that's what makes America great. That's why we have freedom. In China, you can't do that. You do it in China. Look what they're trying to do to Hong Kong right now. It's about getting on individuals. And that, listen, if you don't do what we say, then you have no say-so. You just disappear. We're not at that point yet. So that's why you got to respect people's freedom and try and understand maybe where they're coming from and just broaden your horizons and understand. It's all about being more empathetic and sympathetic. A lot of times it's not, you know, you might say, oh, I'm tough and I'm not changing my ways. Well, then you're not growing as a human being, no matter what your age. And a lot of times for older people, it's hard to do that. I think the younger generations understand the situation, what we're dealing with. And that's why I'm optimistic going forward that something positive, we'll look back at this and then something will get done that'll make this country even better.
Frank, thanks for the phone call. Rolling right through it. Brown on a cell phone. Go ahead, Brown.
Yeah, hello. How y'all doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Brown.
Oh, good. Yeah, how y'all doing? Y'all doing okay?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, how you doing? You hanging in
okay.
There or what?
Well, all right, wait until y'all speak to me. Okay. Well, first of all, I am one of those who lead marches against police brutality. Y'all know about the Danziger 7, right? Case,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
I'm the Reverend Brown. Yeah, I'm the Reverend Brown who helped organize with others the march against the Danziger 7 cops, who was later convicted, but a judge came along and threw the charges out. Now, I'm saying that because we will never see a change as long as the judicial system favors police officers. You never. As long as the police officers know that a judge and a DA is their friend, and we're going to only get 5-10 years, the most, you will never see the kind of change unless every human being is treated equally. They could not even indict this cop with first-degree murder who killed Floyd, because the DA told the family, Mr. Ellis, that he would have problems getting the jury to convict the cop of first degree murder. But let's turn the table. If a black man would have killed the cop, they would have no problem finding him guilty of first degree murder. That's what you call unequal justice in America. Now, on the issue of Antifa, if it wasn't for Antifa, y'all call them, that's not an organization at all. If it wasn't for Antifa, we wouldn't be talking today. It was the violence and the attack on police and the fight and the vicious violence that got us talking. If we just would have marched through the streets saying no justice, no peace, hands up, don't shoot, you wouldn't be talking with me today. Y'all sick of the violence that took place and destroyed these cities. So let's be honest.
Why wouldn't we be talking to you today?
Why
wouldn't we be talking to you today?
When you look at Antifa, extreme left group, and they anti-capitalistic. I mean, what is America's based on capitalism? So they anti-capitalistic, they're anti-fascist. Understand that the same thing to the far right, you could be anti-communist. Anything extreme is not good. So when you look at Antifa, isn't in this country when all of a sudden, even if you're the alt-right and you want to come and speak at Cal Berkeley and you're going to try and shut them down and cause violence, that's not good. You just don't listen to what they're saying. Do you realize that they had a rally with the Nazi Party, I want to say in 38 or 39, where they pack Madison Square Garden, but they still have a right to speak. You just don't have to follow it. So when you can't shut them down, the same thing, we got to be educated and understand that you're never going to go with the far left or the far right. Does that make sense? Because the far left is not, if you look at the far left Antifa, they're not for America. They're not for America going forward. And that's part of the problem. That they would want America to fail and put the system maybe that they would want, which not, would not necessarily be a capitalistic system.
Bobby, we've got to take a break. Thanks for the phone call. This is Sports Talk on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.